The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.
I said, you're going to the top. You're going to the top. Folks, the enemy, if he can use sickness, if he can use disease, if he can use a bank account, if he can get into it. But he cannot get into anything that's shielded by faith. Suppose the enemy comes right now and flips a switch. Now, that's his system out there. It's called Babylon. And he's got credit cards out there. Suppose he flips a switch right now and every credit card goes to zero. I mean, when I say that, it cuts off. You can't even use it. You can't use it. It's gone. Now what are you going to do? I just came from two places. We came from Zimbabwe and Congo. Right? Both of them on a cash economy. No, you don't write checks over there. Check? What's a check? It's cash. And I'm just saying, if some people can't float checks, they can't live. You know, float means, you know, I'm going to get paid on Friday, so I'm going to write this check on Wednesday and hope that this... It don't get to the bank before the check on Friday. You know, that is not a way to live, saints. So my point to you is that there's a system out here. And Jesus was teaching his people how to go around that system. You don't need that system. Matter of fact, over in John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6 and starting at verse 5. Let's look at that. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come to him. And he said to Philip, where can we buy bread that these may eat? All right. And he's got about 5,000 plus men plus women and children to feed. And this he said to prove him. Prove means a test. He's trying to see if you understood what I'm teaching. For he himself knew what he would do. So now it's time to exercise your faith. You've been hearing the word of God. Now what about your faith? And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Let's better understand that by putting up the NIV, the New International Version, and just see what it says. And Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have just a bite. Now notice what he did. Right away, he attached what Jesus was requesting with how long he would have to work a job and get some money and pay for what he needed to have paid for. Say amen to that. But notice, Jesus came to take you above the system. He came to show you how to get your needs met independent of whether anybody in that system is eating. You follow what I'm saying? No matter what that system does, God's going to provide for you. It doesn't make any difference what's going on in that system. So he showed him how to go around the system. Look what he said in Psalm 37 and verse 19. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, God's people are going to have more than enough. It doesn't make any difference what the condition of the weather is. It doesn't make any difference what the economy is experiencing. It doesn't make any difference. You are in this world, but not of this world. So when God sends you in that world, don't be trying to live on that world. In other words, he's not going to have you to depend on that world because you can't transform a world you're dependent on. My point to you is, it's a time for the saints of God to really lift up and let people see that there's a God in their lives that can support them beyond what this world is experiencing. And when they start seeing that, now they're going to want to know about your God. What we've been trying to do is preach to them broke. Just as broke as them, just as sick as them, going through just as many marriage problems as them, and then trying to convert them. Now, what sense does that make? My point to you is that it's supposed to be a difference. He said, let your light so shine in Matthew chapter 5 be among men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father. The greatest way of leading people is through influence. They need to see something in your life. When Jesus worked that miracle in Peter's life, the next thing Peter did is said, hey, I'm leaving all this boat right here. I'm following you. That's the greatest way to get somebody to lead somebody is through influence. You don't have to coast them. You don't have to beg them. You don't have to beat them over the head with the Bible. Just show them something. And they want to know your God. Pharaoh did not want to know Joseph's God until Joseph told Pharaoh what the deal was. Once Joseph told Pharaoh what Pharaoh, the wisdom of God came out of Joseph, Pharaoh said, "How is your father doing?" They're going to want to know how your father's doing when you show them something. Praise God. Are y'all with me? So let's look at that. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Now this is him going over to the other side. He said, the same day when evening was come, he said to them, "Let us pass over to the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship till it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and they said to him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And let me put it in my own words. Don't you care we're about to die? Now, this is Jesus been feeding them all this time, taking care of their families. I'm talking about protecting them, everything else. And now they accuse him that he's trying to kill them. And he arose and rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And there was a great, what? Calm. Look what he said next. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have what? No what? Faith." So what does it take to get to the other side? Faith. How does faith work? It works by love. You can't jump up talking about people and jump up and expect your faith to work. And I'm telling you right now, what God is going to do with you is he's going to take you to the top. Now, why is he going to take you to the top? Because the top, whoever is on the top of the mountain controls what's in the mountain. Whoever is going on top of the mountain without compromise is the only one capable of shifting the climate at the top of the mountain. So you've got to shift your climate. What's the climate? The climate for families is that somehow this new culture has all of a sudden redefined the family. Now it's not Adam and Eve anymore. Let me go over here. And shifting the culture. How about education? Somehow, who's ever at the top of the mountain has said, "Let's take Bibles out of schools." Amen. Come on now. I'm talking about you are being raised up to go to the top and shift the culture back to the kingdom of God. And you can do it. And folks, if I can raise up one of you, just one. Just one. You will affect millions of lives. And just one can do it. Somebody said, "Well, just one." Jesus did it. He was just one. Jesus went to hell and shifted the authority back into the hands of mankind. It's one man. Now you say, "Well, that is Jesus." Jesus was not operating as God. I got good news for you. He was operating as a man. Look what he said, John chapter 14, verse 10. "Believeth thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me." What does he do? Who's doing the work? The Father's doing the work. Now, what is Jesus doing? He's following the Father's commands. He's following the Father's command. Now, I'm going to come back to the scripture in just a minute, so put something right there. But I'm going to give you John chapter 14, verse 21. Just look at verse 21. And look what he says here, because he's following the Father's command. He said in verse 21, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, it's he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my" who? Father. "And I'll love him." And what'll I do? I'm going to manifest to him. Now, notice what Jesus did. He went exactly where the Father said go. Watch this. And said exactly what the Father said say. Isn't that powerful? That he was saying nothing but what he heard. That's powerful stuff right there, folks. Well, if you can say what God said, God's got to back it up. One man. You can look at it on the other side. Look at Hitler. Hitler was about to take over the earth. I don't know whether you know that or not. It's the devil raising up one man. Come on. Bigger than one woman. Esther. Esther shifted the climate. Esther caused a whole nation. nation to be saved. One woman. If I can raise up one of you. Now, I got to raise you up without compromise. Now, you can't be raised up there dealing drugs. You can't be raised up there fornicating everybody. You can't be, I'm going to just say what I need to say. You can't be raised up. See, you can't go. Now, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to encourage you that I understand that you're human, you're this and so forth. But the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up again. See, you might have missed it. Get back up. Praise God. He's going to work with you again. But get it worked out. Then the just shall live how? By his faith. Faith demands that God not only be your source, but come on, help me, but your only source. Amen. They're making a difference. The devil brings 2 things to you. He brings symptoms and suggestions at the same time. I remember a man cannot serve what? 2 masters. He'll either hate one, love the other, hold to the one, despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. So you can go around Satan's system. Say, I can go around Satan's system. You can get your needs met independent of what Satan thinks about it and so forth. Remember, you can't depend on his system and change his system. You can't do it. If you depend on his system, you are under his system's control. But if you're depending on God, then God will have you to change that system. Amen and amen. All right, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, he's having Abraham there to depart his comfort zone. And sometimes God will do that to you and have you depart your comfort zone. Now, listen, I don't care how many times you come to church. How many times you sing songs and kick over the church benches. As long as you don't go out there and use your faith. The enemy is just as satisfied to you coming in here. Matter of fact, he probably comes with a lot of people. But the fact of it is, he knows that you're no danger to him unless you're trying to move ahead and using your faith. Say amen to that. So faith is the only way that you can stop the devil from stopping you. Faith is the only way that you can stop the enemy from stopping you. And believe me, if you're trying to transform a place at work or whatever have you, that enemy is trying to get you out. So you have to have long suffering and understand that Satan is not the one that the people are not the one that promote you. God is going to promote you. All you have to do is be faithful to God. Do things that God says and he will promote you. No demon could stop Jesus and no devil can stop you. Say amen to that. Isn't this good stuff? All right. So they're going to the other side. So I gave you a scripture just now. Genesis. So here's Abraham. He's taking Abraham off the system. Now, when God is raising you up, don't try to get everybody to like you, because that can draw you into something. It'll draw you into compromise sometimes. Sometimes, you know, you won't say what needs to be said, do what needs to be done, and so forth. But realize that God is doing this. Now, with Abraham here in this verse, he's separating him from his family. And sometimes family members and so forth, you know, you got to put them in another category. Now, I'm not saying hate on anybody. I'm just saying that sometimes that is where people's weakness is that family. And Jesus dealt with that. They said, your mother and your brothers said, come out of here and stop preaching that. He said, who are my mothers and who are my brothers? He went into a whole different bag, you know. And I'm saying, I've had to do that. I had to say, wait, whoa, hold now. I got to do what I got to do. Let me just give you a word of advice. Wherever you're divinely positioned, you're divinely protected. So when God puts you somewhere, he protects you right there. So all you got to do is stay on the love line. Say, stay on the love line. All right. Now, also, Remember, the enemy comes with symptoms and what else did I say? Suggestions. Say symptoms and suggestions. He'll try to hit you with them at the same time. Look what he says here in Genesis chapter 37. In Genesis chapter 37, let's start at verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. Now notice what happened. Joseph is still alive, but they're going to fool the father. So now they dip it. This is coming against Joseph. And they sent the coat of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, "This we have found. Know whether it be my son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat." An evil beast had devoured him. Joseph is without doubt what? Rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down unto the grave and to my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now, symptom, suggestion. Nothing was wrong with Joseph other than some haters. They couldn't kill him because he's divinely positioned. He's got a call from God, and God's going to use him to shift a mountain. Now, he's got to stay in love and got to stay in faith. Now, what happened to the father here? The father saw that, and notice, after the father saw that, it affected his thoughts. And what I ask the people in the first session is, what's more important, thoughts or words? Words, okay. He said words. All right. Now, wait a minute. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 32. I'm going to go whip through these real quick. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay your hand on your mouth. So notice where the enemy is coming now first. He's coming to your mind because he wants to make suggestions. It's not something he wants you, glory to God. He only suggests to Eve. Did God really say? That's all he's doing. Suggestion. You know you got cancer. You know. I'm talking about suggestion now. Y'all got quiet when I said that. Say I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'm well in Jesus' name. My point to you is he uses things to try to bring suggestions and thoughts because he knows that once the thoughts come and they're strong enough, what's going to happen? Well, you're going to say something, and what you say and believe will be delivered to you. And so what you got to do is understand what God said. Look at Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Praise God. He said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts." Now notice what God is saying. Hey, whoa. You're picking up somebody else's thoughts here. Those are not my thoughts. My thoughts are different from that. My thoughts are not that you're going to come down with some disease. My thoughts are not that you're not going to have enough money. My thoughts are not going to be that, you know, so forth and so on. Those are not my thoughts. You got to get my thoughts. Because if you can get my thoughts and say my words, I can deliver to you what I want to deliver you. Look what he said in Proverbs chapter 23, please. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, he said, "For as a man thinketh in his heart," come on, "so is he." Meaning that whatever you think, you become. So you got to watch what you think. Because you got a devil out there, when you're rising, he's going to try to make a suggestion to you. And his suggestion, if you buy it and speak it, that the next thing is going to manifest. That's just the way you are made. You are made to create with your thoughts. And so you got to watch that thought life. They are very important. Why? Because words proceed from thoughts. So you got to get your thoughts right. Look at Job, please. And Job chapter 6, glory to God. And look at Job chapter 6, verse 23. "Oh, deliver me from thy enemy's hand and redeem me from the hand of the mighty." Next verse. "Teach me, and what will I do? I'll hold my tongue. And show me where I have what? Erred." But look where he started with thinking that. In Job chapter 1 and verse 5, he said this, "And it was so when the days of the feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This did Job what? Continually. Now, notice what Job was doing. He was having thoughts about his kids running out, acting crazy, and so forth, and he start thinking about that to the point that it start affecting his mind and whether God was going to keep blessing him. And the next thing you know, things start coming out of his mouth, and they start coming out of his mouth, and the next thing you know, the devil's moving in, and he's moving in and getting permission, glory to God, to get into Job's life. Job had talked down the fence that God had placed around him. He had talked down the blessing that God had on his life. And the next thing you know, the devil had an inroad to him. I'm just saying, a lot of times people put it on God. It's not God at all. It's your thought life. You got to stop thinking that. You got to stop thinking he doesn't like me. You got to stop thinking. Come on, get them negative thoughts out of your mind. Manage your mind. Manage your mind. Don't let yourself. The enemy tries to bombard you with thoughts. He came in. If you look in the Greek, a Greek scholar told me that when that boat was going to the other side, what happened is it said waves beat into the ship. It says when it said that, it meant that the devil's thoughts beat on their minds. They kept beating on their mind. And you know yourself, you can't hardly go to sleep because he's beating on your mind. Say amen to that. But the Bible says resist the devil. I'm talking about get the word now. Get the word on it. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What do you resist him with? It says draw nigh to God. Resist the devil. So I'm going to get this Bible. I'm going to open it up because I'm about to put the devil on the end of this sword, and he got to get up off my mind, because say amen to that. Oh Lord Jesus. Said you're going to the top. You're going to the top. Folks, the enemy, if he can use sickness, if he can use disease, if he can use a bank account, if he can get into it, but he cannot get into anything that's shielded by faith. Glory to God. There was nothing wrong with Joseph. Joseph was in good shape, but his dad thought he had what? He had died. Why? Because he got a symptom and a suggestion. I'm saying, even if some professional tells you, you never let that come out of your mouth. The only thing we're going to depend on is the word of God. Put it up there. Romans chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4. He said, God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man be a liar. Let me tell you, when God says you are healed, you are healed. When God says you are rich, you are rich. When God says you got the victory, you got the victory. When he says no weapon formed against you shall prosper, take it to the bank.
Equip yourself to rise to the top of your industry by faith in Pastor Winston's powerful, life-changing teaching, Climbing Without Compromise. To order on CD or DVD, contact us online at billwinston.org or by phone at 1-800-711-9327.
Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoyed today's teaching. Now, I'd like to ask you, have you ever been born again? Now, I know we have a lot of people looking at our broadcast, and I don't want to assume anything, because I know before I got born again, I started listening to some teachings. I started listening to a man on the radio, and every day, I just for some reason, just drawn to him. But it was drawing me in to the kingdom of God. And as you're listening to this, I don't know where you stand with the Lord, but I do know where he stands with you. He died for our sins. He made it so that we could come back to the Father. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they got away from God. Iniquity was born in them. I mean, they had the nature now that was not the nature of God. So it's not what a person did that God that causes them to need to be born again, but it's how they were born. The Bible says we're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Because of Adam's sin, every person that's born in the earth is born in sin. No matter how much they act nice and don't do things wrong and so forth and so on, still got to be born again because it's the nature inside that's got to change. So when I found that out, I saw then that that's what was driving me to do a lot of things that I did. Not only things that I shouldn't be doing in behavior, but also the way I was thinking. I was thinking wrong. Why? Because the nature was wrong. And when I got born again, everything changed. Everything changed. I even made up with people that I was angry with. I went to the top of the ladder in sales in my job at IBM. I'm telling you, you name it, everything changed. Got totally out of debt. Haven't been in debt since. Praise God. So this is what I'm saying about you. I don't know where you stand with him, but I do know where he stands with you. He paid the price for our sins. And so I'm going to ask you to say the prayer with me that they said, that I said with this other person years ago that brought me into the kingdom of God. It's a simple prayer, but it has power to it. And so I'd like you to say this prayer with me. If you're there, you're listening to me, just take time. If you would, just bow your head and repeat after me. Dear Lord, I come to you now just as I am. You know my life. You know how I've lived. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ, He's the Son of God. He died for my sins. And on the third day, He was raised from the dead. Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Live your life in me and through me from now on. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you said that prayer with me, something has happened. I don't have to tell you, this is a miracle from God. Now, he said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And if you did that, something has happened, a miracle on the inside. Now, you may not feel anything right now on the outside, but slowly it'll work its way into the outside, and you'll see changes come in your life. Now, I'd like to send you my book. It's called Born Again and Spirit-Filled. It's got it in English and in Spanish. Now, this is free of charge. This is me. I put together what the next steps you should take in a born-again experience. If you've said that prayer with me and you know that you receive Christ, that you believe that he was raised from the dead and that he is Lord and Savior over all, then I need to send this book to you. I need to send it right away. And stay in touch with us. Let us know what happened to you, because we always like to read these great, marvelous, miracle stories of what happened to people's lives when they got born again. Well, this is Bill Winston saying we're rejoicing with you. And always keep walking by faith.